This presentation is brought to you by Riverwalk Media.
This next part, I am super, super, super duper whooper excited about. So for Christmas, my very grounded husband gave me a very unusual Christmas present because he couldn't think of anything to give me. He gave me an envelope and he told his children, here's some money and put it in there for your mom. Usually, he really thinks things through a lot and gives me really awesome, unusual gifts. And so he gave me some money and he said, you can do whatever you want with it. I'm like, oh man, you should have not said that. So I have had a dream for years and years and years. And that was to go to and meet and help with the distilling of essential oils. So I tracked and I wanted to, I also had another dream, and that was I have certain favorite plants because of my heritage, and pinyon pine and the junipers and cedar and sage. These are all very sacred plants to my family. And so I had two dreams. One was to someday see those plants distilled and turned into essential oils so that the world could have those. And my other dream was to meet an essential oil distiller and get to help do that. So guess what I found? Somebody who does both. How awesome is that? And so, New Year's, was it New Year's Day or New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, I called Ricky and I said, guess what? It's your lucky day. You're my Christmas present. Did I not say that?
Yeah, I was like, who is this?
And so, a week or so later, my husband and I, we packed up our car and we drove and 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 drove, like some of you guys did here. And we went and I got to do both of my dreams, all wrapped up in one amazing man. And I want all of you guys, this man is absolutely dedicated to the preservation of sacred plants all over the world. He is dedicated to sending the truth in these, and it's just amazing, wonderful thing. And he is also, did you like his guitar playing? He's like multi-talented. And he is a self-made herbalist and essential oil distiller. He's a musician. He's sort of a hermit a little bit. And he is absolutely amazing. And I want you guys to please give it up for Ricky Reed.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.
And can we roll the video? Can we darken the lights a little bit? This is my Christmas present to all of you guys.
And I want to welcome you to the Great American West. And I am here with one of our artisan distillers, Ricky, and he is going to take us through the entire process of the distillation process for essential oils. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I'm a self-studied herbalist of about 25 years. I've been distilling essential oils for about 6 years, and love a simple lifestyle, love living in the wild, Great American West, and I'm very honored to be working with you, Leanne, and to be presenting to the Youngevity Nation. So this pinyon pine, heavy wet snows a couple weeks ago brought down these branches. So we're gonna gather this and put it into the still today.
All right, let's do it.
So when we we say hand processed, we mean hand processed.
All right, so we harvested all of this.
Yep.
Got it all in the back of the truck, ready to go to the distiller.
So we're getting ready to distill an essential oil. We're creating a co-distillation, which means that we're going to put three different plants in the still together.
All right, so what do we have here?
We've got Utah juniper, Juniperus osteosperma.
Okay.
And so this is the needles and twigs. And then here we have pinyon pine, Pinus edulis. Pinyon and juniper have a great reach across the western United States. Starting at around 4,000 feet, they range from New Mexico all the way up into Wyoming, Montana, eastern Oregon, across the Great Basin. And right growing at the feet of juniper and pinyon is great western sage, Artemisia tridentata. So one of the ways that I load is I'm going to just point this part out. This is one of my methods that I've learned, is I like to put the twig part, the butt of the twig part down. So what happens is the steam makes its way through the wood and through the cambium layer, the first layers of the bark, and the steam then makes its way through the first layers of the bark and then makes its way out the twigs. So this is one of the artistic aspects of distillation, which is very different than a machine harvest, machine process.
One of the sort of secret sauces that we have in here is the special way that he arranges the plants, and that is something in very particular and unique to your way of distilling. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
And so that is a part that we're going to keep a secret, but we get to benefit from that. Most artisan essential oils are done in the field. They are not done in a sterile laboratory. Your oils that you get from all over the world, many times they are hauled out because, as he does, the plants are wildcrafted. And so it's done in what you may consider a primitive way. I would prefer to call it a more an ancient and traditional manner. The art of distillation has been around for like 10,000 years with the Chinese and the Egyptians, and we want to preserve the heritage of that. This is something that has been passed down for generations, the skill and art of distilling essential oils in this manner.
This is the condenser. There's a steady supply of cold water going into these coils inside the glass tube. The cold water in the glass tube flash cools the steam, which separates the chemical compounds of the plant that is being distilled. Those chemical compounds is what is in the essential oil. The steam recondensing is dripping down the side into liquid form and dripping down into the decanter known as the Florentine flask. This is the essential oil. This represents, this was last night's distillation, basically. This is about 3.5 ounces. So in order to get the essential oil off, I'm gonna close this valve off here, which is gonna allow the hydrosol to rise into the
decanter and have the essential oil come out this line right here. So I'm taking the hydrosol out of the stainless barrel right here, stainless pot. And then I'm going to pour the hydrosol into the decanter. And now that's raising the level of the hydrosol to push the essential oil up so that it will flow out this tube right here. So that's a little bit more than 4 ounces of essential oil right there.
And how much plant material did you have to distill to get that 4 ounces?
That was about a barrel and a half.
So 75 gallons?
Yeah, roughly. Mm-hmm. So that's the precious essential oil right there. The blankets on the barrel is to keep the barrel as hot as possible. We want to keep the temperature of the steam as it goes into the bottom of the barrel as consistent as possible to come out the top. So keeping everything as warm as possible is really important. That's why I've got all these blankets on here. So this material has been in the still since yesterday morning. I added some material to it last night. This is called mark once it's been distilled. When it's put in fresh, it's called charge. When it comes out, it's called mark.
So this is the hydrosol. The hydrosol is the water that is left over in the distillation process of the essential oil. And this is magic stuff too. And it has a lot of still therapeutic properties in it. So we don't want to just, you know, dump it down the drain. We want to save it and collect it. Now we do get lots and lots of this in the distillation process, and so some of it is poured back, sort of like you would say giving back to the earth, fertilizing, you might say, just like you would a compost. So some of this does get put back so that we could provide some of the nutrients back to the soil so that the plants can grow and have the nutrition that we want in our essential oils. All right, so here we are. This is really the very, very beginning when the plants are just growing. And we have juniper right here, right?
Yep.
And we have sage all around us.
Yep.
And then right behind us, we have that beautiful pinyon tree. And just like the blend that you made for us, these are growing right here together, just like they were distilled together.
Exactly, exactly. And that was my clue to distill them together, as they're all living together. And the place of herbalism, observing the plants that are growing together, helps one to understand how they work together synergistically and how they naturally make the formulas that really help us.
Live. We're all alive. Yeah. I always like to begin with gratitude to my ancestors, all of my relations, for all that they have gone through, all that they have experienced, all the circumstances that they've endured that allow me to be at this place of here and now, gathering with you all for your own personal wellness and health. I'd like to thank Leanne for picking up the phone and calling me that day and saying, hey, you're my Christmas present. I'm coming over to see you. You know what I said? Come on. When can you get here? I'd like to also thank Youngevity for creating this space for you all to come into, to take responsibility for yourselves and your wellness and your health personally. Because a healer doesn't heal you. A healer gives you tools and resources to heal yourself, to take care of yourself. So what you got in your little bag here is something that Leanne's been talking about all morning. And one of the few aromatherapists that I've really been able to see the connection that she makes to the plants. I've met aromatherapists that all they know about is what's in the bottle. So what Leanne was talking about, the leaf, the root, the stalk, these are observations that Leanne has made about the plant and what that plant has to offer us. So in my personal experience, I learned from the plants by observing them. It's really simple. And in that same way, that's what Leanne is been talking to you about all morning, is her personal relationship with the plants through her observations, through the way that she uses them in her daily life, and has the amazing benefit of ancient technology to modern technology. Legend of the Genie in the Bottle right here. Originally, Aladdin's lamp was about burning incense, was about burning the sacred plants for ceremonial purposes. So these three plants right here, what you all have in your bag, and I would invite you all to open your little bag and to take your plant material out and just feel it. If you feel like you can actually taste the pinyon pine. You can bite the needle. And it tastes sweet. It tastes yummy. So observing nature and seeing what nature has to offer us and understanding that in human nature, we share something with animal nature, we share something with plant nature, we share something with water nature. What is that we all share? What's the common theme right there? And nature. Human nature's related directly to earth nature, which we are all of, and this amazing creation that is all around us. So the ability for a plant to benefit us begins with gratitude. Being grateful to be alive. I awaken every morning and I give gratitude for myself and for all that I've endured and all that I've experienced, I've had, all the choices and decisions I've made. I've made some bad decisions, I've got regrets. And that's okay, because that is a part of being human. And like Leanne says, sometimes there's just crap in life, and you have to move through it and find the beauty in it through art, through music, through poetry, through something as simple as taking care of yourself through, if you feel like even taking your little bottle of oil out and take that out and smell it. So whenever I'm meeting people, I'll pull my pocket bottle out. I always carry a big bottle. It's amazing, amazing first aid. Being a distiller, my bottle changes all the time. So I've got a little mix in here this time. It's actually a blend. It's not a co-distill. It's sage and rabbit brush. So whenever I meet people and I'm introducing essential oils to them, and I open the bottle of oil up and put it under their nose, and I see their eyes widen, and I see their jaw drop, and they go, "Wow. What's that good for?" And I say, "Well, how does it make you feel? How does that make you feel when you smell it?" It's strong, that's right, yeah. Earthy, yeah, right. And it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Okay, what's the first thing to healing and wellness? Feeling good. Yeah, right. And so that's an amazing thing about essential oils and aromatherapy, is they're... Essential oils are connected directly to our limbic system, which is like the brain, the very core of the brain. And so the first sense of all living beings is smell. The first thing that all beings have is smell. And so this is something that we share also with animals. We share it with plants. Plants smell, and so do we. In a a talk that I just recently listened to of an amazing aromatherapist and perfumer named John Steele, who I'm going to meet tomorrow. I'm so excited. He was saying, basically, human beings are pretty much the only beings that wear the scent of other things, which is something to contemplate and to consider. It's like, well, why do human beings, take a piece of sagebrush and crush it up and put it under their nose? Why do they take a pine needle and crush it up and put it under their nose? Why was it that thousands of years ago that through fire and water and cooking our food in the kitchen around the campfire in the hogan or in the teepee or wherever our ancestry comes from, the alchemical process begins in the cooking pot, right? So whenever you're in the kitchen and you're putting in some pepper and you're putting in some dill and you're putting in some salt, that's the fundamentals of alchemy right there. And alchemy is the fundamentals of chemistry, which when you follow the thread, it's amazing. Chemistry is one of the very foundations of our modern industries, which is rooted in the ancient practices of fire, water, and organic matter, be it plant, be it animal, be it mineral. So in the alchemical process, here we are creating amazing foods that we love to taste. And then as we're cooking, what's happening when we're cooking? We're smelling. Yeah. And so if you've been in the kitchen cooking, and then maybe you're the husband that's in the kitchen cooking. I love to cook. And then your spouse or your partner or your children walk in the house and they go, "Wow, that smells so good," and it actually can get your saliva flowing. So that tells you that aromatics and the sense of smell is like, woo, super, super powerful. And so here you all are learning about essential oils. And what a really simple way to interact with your own personal ancestry in a way, okay? And a way to interact with something as mysterious as nature through the aromatic process, stimulating different parts of the brain to call in what we need. And how many of you have used lavender before? Yeah, and what have you used lavender for? What's the main thing that you've used lavender for? Sleep, yeah, for skin, yeah, for maybe calming down, right? Uh-huh. So in that place of this morning when I walked in, I forget the first lady who I met, she called me and she's like, "I could smell you coming." I took my pocket bottle out and literally she was doing this. She was rubbing it. Now my father did this a couple years ago too. My adopted father, he had the bottle of oil in his hand and he's rubbing it, and I'm like, well, heating it up, and that's a part of the legend of the genie in the bottle. Is you rub the bottle to get the genie to come out. Yeah. So whenever we're using essential oils, we're using them for bumps, bruises, stings, bites, right? We're using them for emotional aspects. We're using them for mental aspects. My introduction to essential oils 12 years ago was specifically for the primal fear of losing my offspring. My son, he was 10 years old at the time. His mother and I had split up. You had mentioned that before, spreading families. And he came to live with me in Sedona, Arizona. And He got hit by a car, mangled the front tire of his bike. He didn't get a scratch. A couple months later, he was stranded on the top of a mountain in a major flash flood thunderstorm. And then a couple weeks later, he tried out shoplifting and got caught. Yeah. And so I had a whole emotional flutter going on. And I had a lot of anxiety in my mental processing. And I wasn't able to rest at night because I had this primal fear of losing my child. And so right at this time, I had encountered a man who I had become acquaintances with, and he was an aromatherapist. And I was like, oh, aromatherapy. I've been interested in aromatherapy for years, being a self-studied herbalist. The 13 years prior to my introduction to aromatherapy, every time I'd go into a natural food store for my comfrey balm, my echinacea tincture, my ginger root, I would encounter the essential oils on the shelf, and I'd walk up to the shelf, and I wouldn't even get the lid off before I put it back on the shelf. And I did that for well over 10 years. I would go, these essential oils, something about them, before I open that lid and start to interact with them, I know I need to know something before I start using them. And so I had the good fortune of not putting tea tree oil in somebody's ear. I went to some classes before I opened that bottle up and started using it. And my perception changed. So, and that experience of going to an aromatherapist for an essential oil I specifically went to him for calming my emotional flutter and my mental anxiety and my restlessness. And he was like, okay, Eric, here's some hyssop oil to apply. You put that on at night before you lay down. That'll help you relax and sleep. And then here's laurel oil. Apply it to your chest first thing in the morning, and it's going to be like a shield for psychic energy. It's going to give you courage, and it's going to make you feel strong. And I was like, okay. And I did that. I did it every morning, just like he said, and I put the hyssop oil on every evening, just like he said. And I woke up one morning. It was probably about 3 months. I woke up one morning, and I was like, something's different. And followed that thread, and I'm like, I think those essential oils are working. Because I feel more calmed and more relaxed in myself, and I feel more allowing of my son's personal experience to allow him to experience life without me trying to control everything. He's 22 right now. He's in Fort Collins, majoring in biology at CSU. He's in officer training programs for the Marines. Thank you. Since he was 7, he wanted to be a jet pilot and an astronaut, and that's what he's pursuing right now. And a few years ago, he started talking about being president of the United States. And I'm like, hey, not too many 19-year-old kids talk about that kind of stuff, and I have no doubt that you're going to end up in the White House one day. So the power of plants and how they can make us feel grounded and rooted and make us feel courageous to experience the world and to know that we're going to make mistakes and to know that we're going to need to make repairs sometimes, to know that we're going to literally fall down and skin our knee. There's something always at an arm's reach that will help us. And sometimes it's another human being. Most of the time, it's another human being. and the courage that it takes to ask for help, that takes courage to do that, because a lot of times, you know, we're told to buck up, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and carry on. Well, that's all well and fine, but meanwhile, we're all in this together. And taking responsibility for your wellness and your health, and I come from herbalism before aromatherapy. So one thing that I learned about herbalism is, what's the first medicine for everybody? Your food, what you need to manage, your communication device, what you put in your mouth is really just paramount to your wellness and your health, to keep yourself strong. And your food is your medicine, it's your tonic. And the second rule of herbalism is, there's always medicine that you need at an arm's reach. Sometimes it's just right in your pocket. Maybe it's eucalyptus, maybe it's vetiver, maybe it's ginger, maybe it's azalea. But there's always something. And in your backyard, it doesn't matter where you live. You can live in New York City, you can live in Fargo, North Dakota, you can live here in Ontario, you can live in Wyoming. There's a plant in your backyard, there's a plant in your front yard, there's a plant just a few steps away that has something to offer to you. It might be thyme that you've grown in your garden. It might be great western sage that's growing all over the place in Wyoming and Montana. It might be a pine tree that's growing in front of the Radisson in right across the road here. I'm working with 13 different plants, and conifers are the ones that I'm working mainly with, because they're the most abundant plant in my environmental demographic. And one thing I've learned about conifers since I started working with them a little over 6 years ago, I didn't know the difference between a pinyon pine tree, a Utah juniper, a Douglas fir, or spruce. To me, they were just all evergreens, literally. And so I've come to understand that there are so many different species of pine in the pine family, and they grow all over the world, most places where trees will grow. So the conifer family, this makes up pine, spruce, fir, cypress, cedar, juniper. And you will find conifer trees in a lot of places. And in my personal experience, finding my relationships to my ancestry through these trees, coming from European descent of Germans and Hungarians, Black Forest people, and here, you know, being American, when I was growing up in Pennsylvania, I went to the spruce tree in the front yard that my mother planted when I was happy, when I was sad, when I was angry, when I was mad, when I was humiliated, when I wanted to take a nap. I went to the spruce tree in the front yard, and that's where I went. And I would bet there's a lot of you that when you were children, perhaps there were trees that you went to. Anybody ever played in a tree house? Right? Climbed an apple tree to eat apples. So not only does the little bottle of essential oil have something to offer you amazingly, I always suggest to people, if you have the essential oil of a particular plant, say rosemary or thyme or fir or eucalyptus here on the West Coast, take a little bit of that essential oil and put some on the actual plant, and then put a little bit on yourself and sit down and be quiet for a little bit. And you will feel a particular resonance, and perhaps you may have an experience of learning something directly from the plant. So something else I've also learned working with 13 plants very intimately. So what you saw in the video That was just like 30 seconds of my life, literally. So that's what I'm doing all the time, what you saw in the video. I'm in the forest, I'm gathering the organic matter, the charge, I'm loading it into my pickup truck, I'm driving it into my front yard, I'm unloading it, so I'm handling these plants continually. This is my tool. This is how I get the limbs off the down trees, or if I'm pruning limbs that are hanging into the road. And then this is what's going in the still right here, just like this. And this is what gets these off. So I snap the twigs off the branches and I pack them into the still. And I do this a lot. This is pinyon pine. Yeah. I just would like to make the point of doing this repetitive process. If any of you meditate or have a prayer practice, it's something that you do every day, and you do it for a particular focus, and you're asking for something, you're listening for something. And through my experience of working with these 13 plants this way, sitting in the front yard, snapping off the needles and twigs, and I get a thought that comes across my mind. Oh, the leaves. We're talking about the leaves of the tree, and we're talking about how they can bring light and pick you up. Well, the leaves of the tree photosynthesize the light from the stars. I like to remind people that the sun is also a star. So in the conifer trees, this is the leaf right here. So this is what's taking in what I like to call the etheric properties of sunlight, starlight, moonlight, the oxygen that we can't see. It's super, super powerful. If we don't have oxygen, what happens? Right, we die. So when I'm sitting in the front yard, I get this thought that comes across my mind, and I'm not a botanist, I'm not a biologist. The needles are photosynthesizing the most recently translated starlight, which ends up in the bottle of essential oil. So in my personal, the reason that I'm here today is because Leanne heard about me and tracked me down she wanted to meet an artisan distiller. Now you can visit large distilleries. A commercial distillery is a lot different than what you just saw on the screen. So what you saw on the screen, that's my home, that's my life. I have a little shed off the back of my house, and I'm monitoring the still throughout the day. I pack it in the morning, I pack it in the evening. I usually pack it right before I go to bed, and I sleep through the night now without checking it every couple hours, because I know what can go wrong, and it's like, okay, well, if this goes wrong, then this is what happens, and it's not that big a deal. So through this intimacy, I've come to learn that this is one place where information and knowledge comes from, is from classrooms and from books. But what Leanne was really talking about this morning, and I loved when you were talking about the roots and again the leaves and the plants. It's the observations of nature is where knowledge comes from. And that's something that we all are empowered to do, and we all have the ability to do, is to learn from our surroundings and to absorb that information and to integrate it into our lives so that we can become more compassionate, more forgiving in our human nature. And this is something, if any of you have gardened, and you've forgotten to water the garden, or you've forgotten to turn the water off in the garden, or if you haven't weeded, Well, the garden doesn't die unless you don't water it forever. And even then, if you don't water it forever, there's still something in the garden that's going to grow. And that tells me that Mother Earth is very forgiving, very forgiving. I've lived in the Pacific Northwest for years and watched mountainsides be mown down by logging companies. And then what happens is trees start to grow back. It's amazing. Not always necessarily the specific species that was taken down. In the Pacific Northwest, if you don't replant the conifers, then madrone and oak and maple come up, which is amazing to me. And it's just something to really contemplate whenever you're interacting with an essential oil and what these plants have to offer us in this form. This is an herb tea. So I drink a tea every day. This particular tea, this is mugwort. So the dose to make a quart of tea for the daily dose is about a palmful of organic matter. So how much organic matter do you think is in that little bottle of essential oil? What do you think that represents? A lot. Yeah, yeah. So you saw that. You saw the 50-gallon drum that I use. This is just a quart jar. Yeah. So that 50-gallon drum filled with this in about 10 hours of distillation. So I brought the Florentine flask. Leanne wanted me to bring the condenser, and I was like, that's a $2,000 piece of glass, and if I break it, then I'm down for a while. And she was like, oh, okay. And I said, well, I'll bring the $400 piece of glass to show you. This is the essential oil here up on the top. And this is what's known as the hydrosol. This is the steam water that's recondensed back into liquid form that we saw Leanne scooping out of the stainless pot into the little container. So the essential oil, wrap your head around this now. It's 100 times exponated, more potent than the steam water. Exponated. So what does that mean? A little goes a long way. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so for the sting, you know, or the bump or the bruise, you know, the little 13-month-old girl, you know, being able to just to go grab the bottle of lavender oil out of the little shoe holder, she wouldn't necessarily be able to just, you know, go to the herbs and make a poultice for the bruise on her head. So, again, essential oils to me are like super, super amazing because you can be anywhere and take your little bottle out and get your needs met from being flustered from, you know, coming in the morning and expecting the stage to be this big and having things this way and you're told that it can't be because of code. She's like, well, I might need something illegal even. And I'm like, no, I don't know about that. And I pull my bottle up, my pocket bottle out, and I'm like, here, just have a whiff of this. And she's like, okay, Ricky. I've had someone in front of me go down, boom, head bounce off the floor. You know what I did? I took the bottle out of my pocket. I put it right on the spot where the head hit. I put oil on there first. Got the person laying flat. Got the knees up, covered, and then I went for my rescue remedy. Flower essence, and then I went for my arnica homeopathic remedy. And next morning there was barely a bump. Yeah, yeah. But see, the key to that is immediate. And that's where, you know, your little first aid kit can have an essential oil, a flower essence, and a homeopathic. And I know this is an essential oil class, but I got 5 minutes, I'm told. So is it all right if I open it up to any questions or comments? Anybody have questions? The hydrosol?
Yes.
Okay, so you have a little bottle of hydrosol in your little bag too. Yeah. So yeah, the clear one is hydrosol. Yep, that's the steam water. Yep. The same thing that you do. Yeah, I do the same thing that you do with it with an essential oil. Sure. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, yes. I spread it out on my front yard, which is caliche clay.
Ricky, can you repeat their question?
Yeah. So the question is, do I reuse my mark? Which is, yes, absolutely. This is amazing organic matter. So I spread it around my yard. My yard is... caliche clay, which when it's wet, it's like immediate, like super heavy boots, and when it's dry, it's a fine powder dust that coats everything. So I spread the mark out, I rake out the twigs, and then I have, you know, this much almost pure needle across my yard, which retains moisture, builds organic matter, no mud, no dust, where my neighbor's driveways, if they don't have gravel, it's like thick mud. And so, yeah, that mark is awesome. Yes, ma'am. Flower essences are going to come to longevity at some point. What was that? Oh, I tell them secrets, sorry. Let's see, Bach floral remedies. Google it, Bach floral remedies. And flower essences are another amazing, powerful, potent healing tool. I saw a hand back there. Yes, ma'am. Which one do you buy for prayer? Any one of them. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm not an internal use guy. That's not. Well, I'm a distiller. I'm not a practitioner. So I don't make recommendations really on how to use essential oils. That's not my thing. What's in your little bottle is a co-distillation of pinyon pine, Utah juniper, and great western sage. That's what we saw on the video. A good use of this essential oil is going to be amazing for stings, bites, bruises, respiratory. I do. You can get my information through Leanne. The Great West. Right now, I'm in amazing Los Angeles, and I'm stoked to be here. Yes, ma'am. I love L.A. Lavender. You know, yeah. This was. What would be good for mental health? Lavender is like the queen for everything, and for young. I like to say for children under 5, for children over 65, lavender is just like, you name it. Yes, ma'am? One more question. I do, yeah. Yeah, I have a live bough permit with the Forest Service, so I do. I'll prune trees that are hanging into the backcountry roads. I have a pole permit for cutting juniper also, so yeah. All right.
Good job.
Cool. Thank you. Woo!
This copyrighted presentation has been brought to you by Riverwalk Media.